Hey, everybody. Welcome. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're going to do an exciting show today about the most important chapter in your Bible. Hey, what do you think the most important chapter in the Bible is? If you had to guess, if I was sitting in your living room right now and I asked you, what do you think is the most important chapter in the Bible? Would it be John chapter 3? Would it be Revelation somewhere? What do you think? I'm going to give you what I think today. And if you watch my live streams, my YouTube lives, you already know the answer. But if you don't, maybe you should start watching us on YouTube. Maybe you should check out our live streams that we do. Here's what I believe. I believe Genesis 3 is that chapter. And I'm going to show you why in today's show. Doc is in the studio. Let me read a verse for you before we go to the break here. Genesis 3, I'm just going to read verse 15. That's right in the middle of the chapter. It says this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that's just one of the things we're going to discuss in today's program about the most important chapter in the Bible. We're going to show you why in just a moment. Stand by. Welcome, everybody, to the show. I hope you've got your neighbors on the phone or text your neighbor. Hey, Brother Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hilsterbilt are on. Turn your TV on. Or if you're watching this later on YouTube or Rumble, share this with your friends on X and Facebook or wherever you're on. And this is an important show today because a lot of things we're going to talk about in Genesis chapter 3 are things that you've got to understand before you go on through the rest of the Bible. The foundation is here. And Doc, before we do this, do you want to, we do have your new book here, The Judgment Seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about this today. We did a whole little radio show on this. Mm-hmm. It's also on YouTube. And that's on the website. Just go to prophecyinthespotlight.com, click on Doc's bookstore. He also has something new here that I'm excited about, his Walk Through Time. We're going to do a show on this in the near future again. 6 hours long, this thing is. Mm-hmm. A Walk Through Time, and it's on a flash drive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, for these old folks watching us today, because prophecy people are, many of them are older folks, I'm going to get this out. I want them to see what a flash drive is that we talk about. All right? It's a USB thing, right? We call them a USB. We call them flash drives. I don't know.
Thumb drives,
yeah. All kinds. It's the same thing. This is a USB, plugs into your computer, or it'll plug in your television. If you have a smart TV,
yep. You
just find the USB connection. Or better yet, call your teenage grandchildren. Yeah. Have them come over and help you get that in there and help you flip through the different sources on your TV to get to the, you know, anyway. That's what it is. It's a flash drive. And that's on your website, right, Doc?
Yes.
It's already there. And you can purchase these by getting to Doc's website. All right. Doc, I didn't give you a heads up on this. I think last week or a couple of days ago when we were here, I told you what I was planning. Mm-hmm. And I understand you're teaching Genesis
in our Bible college. I'm teaching. I've taught the book of Genesis, I don't know how many times, in Bible colleges over the years. You're in very familiar territory for me.
Well, I never worry about
and
that.
And your statement a while ago, you don't go any further and have an understanding until you understand. That's the first 11 chapters.
Yeah.
You got to have that.
And that's what my new book's about, that by the time this airs, it may be printed. I'm not sure, but it's close to being ready. It's called Genesis, the book of
You can get it ready quick. Just let AI do it.
I could probably. I don't think I'd sleep at night if I allowed AI to write my books for me, but I'm sure a lot of people are using it.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing wrong with getting ideas, because it's just soaking the internet and finding stuff and bringing
sometimes
it in.
It helps with structuring or whatnot. But yeah. No, I was joking.
Yeah. And of course, you've read some of my, I'm right on the bottom shelf. I'm illustrations and little things to help people understand stuff. I write some deep stuff, but I try to put it on the bottom shelf where folks can grasp it. And you're right. The book of Genesis, I have broken it into two parts. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never seen a study guide this way before, but this is me.
Well, that's basically, I mean, you before Abraham and after Abraham.
Yeah. Yep. 1 through 11 is the beginning of all things. And a lot of them are in chapter 3. Many of them, a lot of it's in chapter 1.
Each chapter is very important. And I'm wondering if a lot of our preachers don't even quite understand how important each one of those single chapters are. Yeah.
And so chapter 1 through 11 is the beginning of all things. Then chapter 12 through chapter 50 is the beginning of the Jewish race, the Hebrew race, the nation of Israel, whatever you want to call it. And it's basically four men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
That's right.
And it starts with Abraham in chapter 12 being called out to go to a place he's never been before.
Right.
And then ends with Joseph in a coffin in Egypt, chapter 50.
That's it.
Now, there's some other characters. You got Lot in there.
For a preacher, there's some unbelievable deep teaching that can be brought out on a very practical level that really, really help your people.
Yep. And at the end of the book, it's not in there yet, but it's going to be, I'm going to have what I call my Journeys of the Christian Life section. It's really not Genesis, but it's similar. The nation of Israel and their wanderings from Passover through unleavened bread, through crossing the Red Sea on first fruits and Pentecost and getting to the promised
land. Pick that up in the book of Exodus.
So it's not really Genesis, but it's taking the Genesis account of Abraham and his boys.
You wouldn't have any
journey.
Reason for the story if you didn't understand how you got to where you was from Genesis.
Yeah. So that's my study guide. I don't know yet how many pages it's going to be, but it won't be huge. It's going to be spiral bound, just like my Daniel study guide. So let's jump into this, Doc, before I take any more time on that. Genesis 3, let me start reading here in verse 1. And we'll just pick out some things here. I got a list of things here in my notebook that pop out when you read chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. We can stop right there.
Yeah.
This is the first mention we're going to learn about old Smutty Face himself, the devil.
About Satan and his using of, I think he used an animal here in that situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, he is coming to deceive the weaker vessel.
We know this is Satan because later on it explains it.
Oh, yes.
And throughout the Bible we see that it was Satan that tempted the woman. Mm-hmm. He's using a serpent here, and it's believed the serpent walked upright.
It's obvious.
Was nothing like a serpent today.
No. Nope.
It was part of the curse. That
part of the curse is,
And it says here that he was more subtle. He was a trickster. He was able to get in there and say stuff like a college professor does.
Yeah. All he's got to do is get you to thinking the way he wants you to think.
Yeah. He doesn't come, Satan doesn't just come out and say, look, that's not right. You don't want to do that. He has a different way of coming at you.
Yeah.
And as we'll see in a minute here. So we see here in chapter 3, and by the way, you mentioned this the other day, and I've been mentioning this for years, but I want them to hear you say it. Satan's create. He is a created being because Isaiah says, "Thou was created,
created."
That's right. That's how it was. But you and I think you agree with me that did not take place during the 6 days of creation.
No, it did not, because Satan is and was one of the higher cherubs. He was, I think, he was in charge of the music of heaven's choir.
Yeah,
but he was, God was, and the angelic beings were already there before God stepped out in day number one and said, let there be light. So angelic beings are not a part of physical present creation.
I mean, they're not flesh and blood.
That's right.
They're not of this world.
They're not of this element.
They're not confined by time and space like we are here. And I believe, and that comes out in Genesis 1 and 2, the 6 days of creation, the seventh day God rested. That's, of course, the 7,000-year earth right there.
Yep. If God had created them in the week of creation, why would he have skipped over that important deal? Because it didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Some people say, well, on day number four, when he created the celestial stars and sun and moon, so what? That has anything to do with a spiritual realm. That has to do with the physical realm of creation.
Yeah. Okay, so the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And now here's the first statement of Satan through the serpent in the Bible. Yep. And it says, and he said unto the woman.
Yep.
Why did he come to the woman and not Adam?
Well, because, well, as the Bible later will say, she's the weaker vessel, but she was designed to be a helpmeet for her husband. And the husband had been, Adam had been given the commands, and he was responsible to give those commands to his wife.
Okay, so we see Eve here, and of course Adam's going to be here too. And here's what he says to her.
We know Adam was there because it, a few verses down, it's going to say, with her.
It's hard to see at the beginning here, but when you read the whole passage and take it all in, he's either on the way there or he's there the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we know for sure, but yay. He starts out positive, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't say, woe is me, or this is a, yay. That's how Satan started out. That was his first word. Yay. I think that's important, Doc.
He's saying indeed.
Yeah. I've got some good news for you. Yeah. Yay, I've got some news for you. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's asking her a question, but it's really not a question. He's making a statement here. And
it's a rhetorical type of a question.
Now, so the second thing that I mentioned on my list here is not only Satan and his and of course he's crafty, he's a liar, he's a deceiver. But the second thing we see on in our passage here that's important is he's talking about the Word of God.
Yes.
And the Word of God.
And it begins immediately putting a seed thought of doubt about it.
Yes. Hath God said, did God really say, and of course, then he brings up, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Because that was the only command they were given.
Yeah.
You see that tree over there? Do not eat that. By the way,
these two trees.
I have a book. She'll put that up. My KJB, the gold standard book, has this story in it. Near the beginning, I think it's in there. And I point out in there, and I actually prove in that book that Eve was not created yet when God told Adam not to eat of that tree.
Oh, that's true.
So who told Eve? Adam. Adam told
Eve. Adam is the one who was given the responsibility.
Now, I've had women.
And he was given the responsibility to protect his wife.
I've had women get upset with me over this. And of course, I'm always very nice and casual with them.
Oh, yeah.
And but it's this women's lib movement that's in us.
It's infected even many people in Christian movements.
Well, I think it started right here.
Yes.
And he went to the woman, because she's under the man.
Yeah.
He's her authority. Mm-hmm. And we don't like that today. And you know what? Women were a lot better off years ago before this mindset came to us.
Much happier.
Yeah, they were much more successful.
Much happier homes.
They had nice homes. I'm thinking that Leave It to Beaver show that we always talk about back in the late 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked the job. She was the homemaker. Mm-hmm. She stayed home, and she'd pack his lunch. She'd give him his lunch, peck him on the cheek on the way out, and she'd be there when he comes home and have supper ready. See, people mock that today.
Yep.
Well, yes, they were happy.
That's today is bemeaning you. It's belittling you. And it's not at all.
You say, Brother Gunnar, get on with it. Where's that in here? It's in here. It's in here. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God has existed for all of eternity. And he's quoting God. He said, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto him in verse 2, The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said.
Yes.
There's the word of God again. Yep. Satan said, have God said. Eve said, God has said. So far, it's looking good here.
Yep.
God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, that's a questionable phrase there.
Yep.
A lot of people think that it's possible that Adam told her that, and that God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I joke about it.
If Adam told her that, then she knew better than what she was doing. And the Bible says she was deceived.
It's possible that Adam, God said, Adam, you see, you can have everything you want except that one tree. Do not eat of that tree. And I can see the husband going to the wife, honey, don't eat of that tree. And he starts to walk around. And by the way, don't even touch it when you're old. Don't touch it. And then he starts to walk away. Wait, in fact, Eve, don't go near that tree. Stay away. You know, I can see that.
I tell people a lot of times when I'm teaching through that section, I said, everybody said there's no tithing in the Old Testament.
Yeah, there was 10 trees, I think someone said, 10 species of trees.
The Bible is very clear that that tree belonged to him. And he said, it's not for you. Same way with all that we have. God said, you can eat of all of this, but that belongs to me.
Yeah. I read somewhere, and I don't know if it's been proven, but they said there were like 10 different species of trees or something, and this was the one of the 10, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's ideas.
So, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's
telling
the
half-truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's telling a lie, but they're not going to die physically.
No, not yet anyway.
But they are going to die spiritually.
Yeah. And for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. That's true.
Yep.
Your eyes shall be open. But this part isn't true. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Well, here's the thing, Dan. Stop there just a minute. Knowing good from evil.
Yep.
Here's what happens. The devil says, subtly, you know, you've been doing what God told you's right and wrong. You've been doing what God told you's good and bad. Wouldn't you like to know what's good and bad for yourself?
Yeah.
Why don't you, you know, you don't just have to live dependent upon God. You could really live independent of God.
And besides that, Adam, why does Adam have to get to tell you what's right and wrong?
Exactly.
Can't you decide what's right and wrong?
Your eyes are going to be, you'll be able to discern. You'll know right from wrong.
In my book, and here's how I describe it. I said, being as gods, what he means is you'll be God. You'll decide what
is
right and what is wrong. That's what a God is.
You become in charge of your own life. And we really need God to be in charge of our lives.
So this thing called marriage, you'll decide, Miss Eve, you'll decide whether you need to be married or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a God is. A God is that person or book or thing in your life that decides for you what is right and what is wrong.
There you go.
For me, it's this book. I'm not saying I know it all or that I obey it all, but this book is the authority.
Absolutely.
For everything that we believe and what's right and what's wrong.
True.
Why is it wrong to murder? Thou shalt not
murder.
That's
right.
Why is it wrong to steal? Thou shalt not steal. People don't realize that. They think that's just a society thing. No, it comes from the authority of God.
God has written those laws upon the conscience of the heart.
Yeah. And so we got to keep moving because we'll never get very far if we've only gotten through a few of these. And so the Word of God, I don't know if she put the KJV book up or not.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. That book will be a big help to you folks on understanding the issue of the Word of God. In that book, I talk about what is the Word of God. I talk about where is the Word of God. I talk about preservation. I talk about inspiration. I talk about, what is Scripture? Scripture is simply what God has said written down. That's what the root word is, script. Scripture is what God has said written down. Now, if you write it down wrong, it's not Scripture. If you change the words, it's no longer what God has said, right? And so the importance of the King James Bible. And so next on the list, Doc, and very important, is the fall of man.
Yes.
Eve, he got her to question it. Then he got her to doubt it.
Yep.
Then he got her to disobey it. And Adam
That's right.
with her. Now, I don't know what you feel about this, Doc, but I've always felt like because of that verse, the second Adam, you know, mm-hmm. Christ is the second Adam. What have they got in common?
No.
They both love their bride.
That's exactly right.
I think Adam ate the fruit. I can't prove
this. And
the
Bible says he willfully.
Yeah, he did. He willfully, he was not deceived. That's in Timothy.
Yep.
The woman was deceived. The man was not. She ate the fruit, gave it to him. He ate it, I think, to save his wife.
But, very possible.
It's like, I call it the greatest love story never told. I wrote a sermon on that years ago. I think that's why he did. I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong. The whole human race
right.
fell through Adam, not Eve.
That's right.
The bloodline comes through the man.
That's right.
And we won't have time to go through all that.
It requires the second Adam to correct what the first Adam, and that's the verse you read a while ago in verse 15.
And Catholicism warps that.
Yes.
And warps, not the right word, with a woman called Mary, his mother.
Mm-hmm.
They take the redemption a little bit off of Jesus and put it onto, we need the mother because Jesus is mad at us and we go to the mother. It's not true. It's not biblical.
No, not absolutely
at all.
Not.
She called him her savior.
That's right.
Because he was her savior, is her savior.
Absolutely.
So the fall of man. Look what we get in Genesis 3. We've got understanding Satan and his deception and subtlety. We've got the word of God mentioned, how important the word of God mm-hmm. is. And what happens when you disobey the word of God? That's sin.
Yep.
We see that. Mm-hmm. And we see the fall of man here. And then we see the results of that.
The consequences, the judgment.
That's exactly what I wrote here. Consequences. Sin's
yes.
consequences.
Yes. Absolutely.
And there's several, the curse came upon man.
Four things are cursed. Of course, Satan's got a curse on him.
Yeah.
And there's a time coming when he's going to get his head crushed.
Yeah.
Well, that's coming after the end of the millennial reign, when he is let loose out of that bottle pit a little while and his final doom. Then there's the curse on the woman, childbearing, and the pain of that. Then there's the curse on the man. He's going to have to work with sweat and brow,
thorns and thistles.
And then the curse on the land, on creation. And four major curses are related to the judgment of the fall.
We see something in the passage also about nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, where art thou? God comes in the cool of the day to walk with him like he did every day, we think.
You think God was asking for his own information to know which tree Adam and Eve was hiding behind? Or do you think it was like a preacher giving the invitation?
Giving them a chance to get right.
To give them an opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Adam says, I hid myself because I was naked.
Yeah.
And in my Seven Laws of Bible Study book, we don't have that to put up, but I have a section there on biblical nakedness. And it's a kind of one of them touchy ones. One of them get in trouble at preaching at church.
It's obvious they were physically naked.
Yeah.
Because he's going to clothe them with the skins of the animal. But my question is, do you reckon they were already naked?
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon their nakedness was covered?
It was.
By righteousness.
Yeah. Yep.
Because before sin, they were perfect in the eyes of God, righteous.
Yeah. And that was taken from them when they sinned, and now they see themselves.
And that's why when we get saved, it is not our righteousness, but it is Christ's righteousness that's imputed to our account.
Sin's consequences, the fall of man, nakedness, all in the story here. And how about the blame game, Doc?
The woman you gave me.
Adam looked at Eve.
It's her fault.
It's sad. It's sad. Yeah. She made me do it.
And when he was standing there beside her, he should have said to the serpent, "Why are you talking to my wife?
Yeah.
I'm the head of the home."
Yeah.
But no, he didn't, did he?
Yeah. Boy, there's so many lessons here about life and
so
the home
many wonderful
and family.
Practical truths.
Yeah. He should have punched him in the nose.
Yeah.
And there's another thing. I don't know if I dare say it on here.
Yeah, better not then.
A lot of people misunderstand. They lived in Eden. That's not where the garden is east of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's not still Eden, but it's they didn't live in the corn patch. They didn't lay down in the rows of corn and go to bed. They had a place. Eve, can I say this? Eve ventured out into man's workplace.
Might have been. That's a good thought.
Adam's job was to he's the first farmer.
He was the tiller. He was the one to take care of the garden.
That day, Eve decided to go to man's workplace and see what was happening there. And
maybe
met this real shining-looking, very nice, distinguished serpent and began a conversation. And it's all downhill from there. Don't throw anything at me here. These are touchy items.
Oh, you're a male chauvinist, you know.
And I could tell stories.
But it's true. The consequences is what we're living with today.
Yeah.
That's why we're a sinner. You know, Romans chapter 5 tells us because of one man's sin, Adam.
Well, let's get to that, the blame game. Adam said, the woman that thou gave it. He's talking to God now. Think of it. He's talking to God. He said, well, Lord, the woman you gave me, she made me do
it. He's trying to justify.
Yeah, and we all do it.
We all do it. Absolutely.
But officer, you don't understand. I wasn't paying attention that I was speeding. And the woman says, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent made me do it.
That's all the blame game.
And remember the old Flip Wilson guy from the 60s? You know, the devil made me do it. They joked about that.
Yeah.
And it's no joke.
But the devil didn't make anybody do it. They did it on their own.
And God still decided to offer them a way of redemption.
That's right.
And that's our most important thing here. Redemption's because story is here.
When you look in verse 15 there, it says the devil's seed and the woman's seed. But if you look at the verse real close on the other side of the semicolon, I believe it is the word it. Probably the most important word in that whole verse is the word it. Because the word it is the same as the seed of the woman. So when you get to the last verse, you realize that's talking about him, his, Jesus.
Yeah.
So it is the first mention of redemption.
Yeah.
And you go to the very last book in the Bible, chapter 13 of the book of Romans, and verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him
Revelation.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
This is all about redemption.
Yeah.
At, in the judgment, as you said, not only did God pass out judgment, but he gave the indication redemption will be available.
And we know they accepted that because the Bible says the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. I personally think he killed lambs and put lambskins upon them. Now, they must have accepted and trusted in his coming death and burial, resurrection to accept those clothes, those lambskins.
So they realize innocent blood shed for the guilty sin.
We're out of time, folks. There's more here, but this is exciting stuff. And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.